Black ecologies, an opening, an offering. One, the war against blackness, begun 500 years ago, is the event horizon of planetary extinction. And still, and yet, and therefore, beyond the boundaries of a billion black Anthropocenes, exist infinite black ecologies. Two. Through our bodies, we can learn a thing or two, or infinitely more, about integration. Ecologies are assemblages of integral relationships between bodies. Bodies are bits of matter and energy that unite to become humans and microbes, ponds and planets, communities and worlds. Our bodies are ecologies. Ecologies are bodies of bodies of bodies. Bodies nest ad infinitum, interdependent, indivisible. Each body is a point. Each point is a threshold. Each threshold opens onto an ecology. Each black body points to a line of code drawn in sand and skin. Each line is a boundary that obstructs movement across ecological thresholds. Each boundary hypoxifies both the black body and the world's ecology. To return oxygen to humanity, each bounded black body must be named. Each name must be known. There are too many names to know. But black bodies are not doors of no return. Naming and acknowledgments are necessary, but they're just the openings that enable us to make offerings. Rupturing the boundaries around and within blackness, which holds all bodies and all names, opens wormholes. Through them, we can sow the seeds to other ecologies of beings. Three, to open a wormhole, we must A, locate a boundary drawn through our ecological body. But where to begin? 1492, 1682, 1452, 1619? There are too many boundary dates to note, but I propose descending through this one. 1758, Swedish botanist Carl Linnaeus publishes the 10th edition of Systema Naturae. This seminal scientific text transplants a system of classifying Earth's plant species onto the human species. In the name of science, Linnaeus dissects Homo sapiens with a system of social categorization raised from the demonic grounds of slave plantations. And through the inscription of ironclad nomenclature into abstracted flesh, he animates a racialized chimera of stratified bodies. Homo americanus, reddish, choleric, and erect. Hair, black, straight, thick. Wide nostrils, scanty beard. Obstinate, merry, free. Paints himself with fine red lines, regulated by customs. Homo asiaticus, sallow, melancholy, stiff, black hair, dark eyes, severe, haughty, avaricious, covered with loose garments, ruled by opinions. Homo africanus, black, phlegmatic, relaxed, hair black, frizzled, skin silky, nose flat, lips tumid, women without shame, they lactate profusely, crafty, indolent, negligent, anoints himself with grease, governed by caprice. Homo europeanus, white, sanguine, muscular, hair long, flowing, eyes blue, gentle, acute, inventive, covers himself with close vestments. governed by laws. European men anoint themselves with Sylvia Winter's capital M and conjure a cosmology they call enlightenment. Enlightenment exploits the subjective murkiness inherent to ecological existence to sanction capitalism's foundational enterprises of genocide and slavery after the fact. Man orders himself as the height of existence, as white human, and us as its bottom, as black inhuman. Fearing the force of white and the pitfall of black, others become equatorial, folded into the unsettled gradient of the brown in between, striving toward the northern pole. The ecology of humanity enters a state of dysbiosis. B. Open a wormhole to other ecologies. Conflating phenotypical darkness with phenomenological darkness, darkness with the unknown, and the unknown with fear, enlightened whiteness casts a surgical light. With each shadow banished, new shadows are revealed. Within each particle, smaller particles are found. Yet the new forms of knowledge gained are half-starved. With each body annihilated or enslaved, assimilated or segregated, the less the enlightened know about themselves. Each person, place, and particle split sounds the bell for the planet's splintering. And yet, and still, and therefore, through the alchemical fusion of the phenotypical and the phenomenological, darkness of flesh is imbued with the dark power to reintegrate the world. 4. Through our bodies, we can learn a thing or two, or infinitely more, about segregation. Enlightened bodies are as segregated internally as they are externally. The human is segregated from the bacterium, even though 99% of the DNA in the human body is non-human. The enlightened human is segregated from the plants that provide them with the oxygen they need to exist. The plants create this oxygen in turn from the carbon dioxide that the human expels. The human is segregated from the land, which, as Frantz Fanon reminds us, is the most important value because it provides us with bread and dignity. Beneath the black human body is the body of Earth, whose flesh is black with oil and soil, black with life. Yet classified as black, Earth becomes extinction's ground zero. As black human bodies disintegrate under the magnification of enlightenment, the black body of Earth disintegrates. A sickly rainbow of bodies and souls floats above enlightened ecologies and ethico-eco-philosophical zero gravity. The enlightened human calls this weightlessness freedom. Enlightened ecologies are spheres of existence flattened into two dimensions, property and profit. Enlightened ecologies are hierarchical rather than rhizomatic. They are latitudinal and longitudinal, surface and flesh, black and white. The quintessential enlightened ecology is the plantation. In plantation ecologies, Earth is emptied of native peoples and knowledge through genocidal clearing. Enslaved black bodies are emptied of humanity. The indwelling value of the black earth is transfigured into a financial abstraction. Plantation ecologies are invasive. Once industrial monocrop agriculture has drained life from soil, the oil industry spreads throughout the black earth's fractal viscera. Her skin crawls with prisons and petrochemical plants. Plantation ecologies are virulent. As capitalism advances and thickens like a strangling fruit, all the world becomes a plantation. The habituating force and raison d'etre of the plantation ecology is death. 5. The black earth asks me, what does it mean for black people to fight for the rights of nature when y'all are still fighting for your basic human rights? In the light, the equation of existence appears reducible to division. Darkness multiplies. In the light, knowledge of the world appears in sharp relief. Darkness holds a more intimate wisdom that we are once again coming to sense. What has been called darkness, the unknown, the void, the abyss, empty space, we now know as dark matter. Dark matter is the glue that holds existence together. Perhaps we can think dark matter through another, older name, kinship. I enter the black earth through my bodies. The rights of nature and human rights must be won ecologically, in solidarity, as kin. Perhaps we can think kinship through another, simpler name, love. Little by little, or perhaps from the perspective of the black earth, more rapidly, enlightened humanity is coming to recognize the need for the dark wisdom it worked hard to extinguish. More and more, Western scholars look with deference and humility toward Anishinaabe original instructions, toward Quechua Sumac Kwase, toward Aboriginal dreaming. They spin the West around to face the rights of nature, the eco-philosophical integrity of the world, the horizon. Yes, more and more. But where is Black Africa and her dark diaspora? So great is the world's disregard for the dark continent and her people, that few have noticed the absence of our eco-philosophical voices within the rising chorus of environmental scholarship. To survive climate change, humanity needs to get radical. To get radical means to get to the root. Black Africa is humanity's root. Her uprooting seeds enlightened ecologies. Her diasporic seeds are portals to other ecologies of beings. As Maladoma Somé, a spiritual philosopher from the Dogara tribe of Burkina Faso, affirms, the time has come for African philosophy to be recognized beyond the realm of anthropology. It is time for Black studies to be reread ecologically, and for the de-enlightening world to sit quietly and listen rapturously to Black people's perspectives on ecological reintegration. 6. Black ecologies travel with the Black body on tides of cellular memory and seed the gaps between worlds. Their ancestors are the brown bodies of wetlands, fecund cradles of more than human life, which the enlightened human classifies beneath whiter sands and bluer waters, which the human carves up, drains of vitality, and disappears to make way for industrial development, and which, despite this degradation and debasement, remain merciful hosts to migrating maroons of all species. Black ecologies are syncretic, like resistance to slavery, which often germinated in the spiritual grounds of Vodou, Santeria, and Candomblé. They generate systems for mutual living. Living systems, by synergizing poetry and science, past and future, teachings from north, south, east, and west, networking the many into the one. Black ecologies are diasporic. They spread to the rhythm of grandma's knitting needles, weaving the world's loving reintegration. Whatever their scale, they are expansive, because they photosynthesize the wisdom of more than human ancestors. Black ecologies cannot decompose Timothy Morton's plastic dark ecology, a philosophy of coexistence that holds no space for the repair of racism. Nor are black ecologies fooled by the Cartesian logics that tell us that black is the lowest point on the spectrum to white. Black ecologies laugh with deadly gravity at the confusion of enlightened human reason. Black is not the absence of light. Black absorbs light, holding it close to its bosom. Black ecologies are the nadir to enlightenment's zenith. Enlightenment has lifted us to unthinkable heights of madness. Black ecologies reorient us intuitively toward the black earth. Black ecologies don't upend the hierarchy that places black people at the bottom of humanity and humanity above the black earth, shifting black to the top and white to the bottom, but rather explode it outward from the base. Humanity will horizontalize, lying prostrate, as humble human, not just big toes, but whole bodies pressing into the ground in a sublime encounter with our planet, with our kin, with ourselves. Black ecologies will hold us all. 7. This is why black bodies are ki and ku in humanity's war against existence. Black bodies can jump the broom over and beyond dishonored humanity and land, not as human, but more than human, not as thing, but everything. Black ecologies multiply. They are migratory. They resist ecologies of extinction. Don't be frightened. Black ecologies won't replace you. They will repair you. They will restore us. Reparations for racial capitalism are owed, but not only through financial settlement. Landscape reparations are owed, but not only through the removal of racist monuments. Land restitution is owed, but not only through the acknowledgement of indigenous names. The reparations that are owed will return land to people, and people to land, and both to ecological beings. Black ecologies are the sacred relations through which ecological reparations can be offered to our segregated earth. Through the cultivation of black ecologies, the holy enlightened earth may yet become a black hole.